Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Today we're continuing our study in the book of Colossians. So if you have your Bibles, take them and turn to Colossians chapter 2. You'll be looking at three verses today, verses 8 through 10. So Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. So follow along as I read. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. Dr. David Jeremiah wrote this. You will recall that the word Gnostic comes from the Greek word gnosis, or knowledge. The Gnostics, in simple terms, thought they were smarter than everyone who wasn't one of them. They tried to intimidate others by their intellectualism. So what we're going to deal with today is Paul cautions us, warns us to beware of intellectualism. Now, if you look at verse 8 again, he says, beware, be on the lookout, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, Paul was not against education. In fact, Paul was highly educated. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was one of the intellectuals of his day. So he's not against education. And I have to be careful in today's lesson that I'm not misunderstood. We're not knocking education, but what we are dealing with here is the danger of something being presented as true that simply is not true. Paul was warning us, warning those in Colossae, against Gnosticism. A Gnostic was a person who believed he had knowledge that went beyond truth or beyond the Bible. In referring to what the church was trying to accomplish there in Colossae, the Gnostics were coming in, pre-Gnostics perhaps, and they were coming in and they were going beyond what God had revealed as spiritual truth. Because of his education or his intellect, the Gnostic believes he is smarter than Bible believers. And we see this even today. Those who are considered intellectuals in our culture, they are the ones that are scoffing at Christians. They're the ones that make fun of believers, that they look at the Bible, they look at religion as something that is less than true. They believe that because of their intellectualism, they understand what's going on better than someone who has accepted what the Bible tells us, accepted God's revelation. But the Bible tells us that intellectuals who do this, who discredit the Bible, are actually thieves. That's exactly what he's calling them here, in a sense, in verse number 8, when he says, beware lest any man spoil you. It's the idea of an invading army coming and defeating you and taking away the spoils of war. And that's exactly the people that Paul is warning us against. Those intellectuals who are exalting non-truth as truth and spoiling us, robbing us of the truth. I know that can sound confusing today, so I need to be careful what we're dealing with here. But intellectuals who discredit the Bible are thieves. Any philosophy, and there's nothing wrong with philosophy, it simply means the love of wisdom, but any philosophy that leads one away from faith in Christ is exactly what Paul is warning us against. So what we want to do today, as we beware of this type of intellectualism, is we need to consider the four characteristics in this context, let me make myself clear, we're not knocking intellectualism, but any intellectualism that degrades the Bible and usurps the Word of God and changes the truth to the untruth. There's four characteristics of this type of intellectualism that we need to be aware of. First of all, intellectualism is deceptive. It's deceptive. Philosophy here in verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, is basically the best that the human mind can offer. In this context, the philosophy, this love of wisdom that Paul is talking about, its origin is human. Its concepts are elementary. Its premise is non-Christian. That's the philosophy that Paul's dealing with in verse number 8. It's man's best effort apart from God. The intellect's highest effort without God, my friend, is empty deceit. The key word here is deceit. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And not only is intellectualism deceptive, but Paul goes on, he says, intellectualism claims antiquity. That's what he's talking about here when he talks about the tradition of men. Philosophy that's after the tradition of men. Just because something's old doesn't mean it's true. And the opposite is true as well. Just because something's old doesn't mean that it's not true. And so we have to discern whether something is true or not, regardless of its age. I want us to look in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, in verse number 11, now when we think about the traditions of men, notice what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Apostle Paul is saying here, back before he became a Christian, he was highly educated. He was one of these intellectual people that he's warning against now. He was steeped in the tradition of his fathers. He was steeped in traditions that had usurped and had gone contrary to what God revealed in his word. Traditions became more important than what the Bible taught and what God had revealed. But when Jesus Christ got a hold of Paul, he revealed to him the truth. And Paul gave all of that other up so that he might preach that which God had revealed to him to preach. Listen, traditions can be good or traditions can be bad. The question is, what is the origin of the tradition? Is its origin man? Paul said, well, I preached to you, the gospel I preached to you, I didn't learn it from man. I learned it from God. So think about the traditions today. Do they originate from man or do they originate from God? When it comes to the gospel, that doesn't originate from man. That came from God himself. And then another thing we need to be aware of, not only is intellectualism deceptive in the context of Colossians chapter 2, not only has it claimed antiquity, but also intellectualism many times is demonic. There are satanic forces at work in our world today. I want to share with you something that Richard Mellick wrote concerning this portion of Scripture. In some teachings, the elements were the signs of the zodiac and the powers that occupied the planets. These powers supposedly exerted their influence over the world and its activities. In Jewish circles, the term elements often applied to supernatural beings who ruled over people. Some considered them demons. Paul used the term in Galatians 4:9, where he confronted false teachers who urged Christians to worship the elementary things. Paul opposed them as no gods, undeserving of worship. Even so, the Galatians were in danger of turning to them. So he asks the question here, how did Paul use the term here? Most probably he employed a variation of Jewish terminology, since most other elements of the heresy make sense when approached from that perspective. He may have referred to angel powers, which were incorrectly perceived as being in authority over the world. Whatever the specific interpretation, the elements were inferior. Christianity brought a higher and better system of worship to its believers. So when we're reading in verse number 8, and he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world." The term there, rudiments of the world, may actually be talking about demonic activity. But anything exalts itself above Christ, beware, beware. That's what Paul says, and not after Christ. Satanic forces are at work in our world today. David Jeremiah put it this way, the philosophies that drive our educational system, infiltrate our politics, dilute our theology, pervade our media, and divide our world. Think about all the areas in our world today where demonic activity is alive and well. Boy, when you think about the politics and our educational system, all of these things, wow. The Bible warns us and tells us in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, I'm turning there in my Bible. Just want to read one verse to you. It's verse number 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 19. "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." There's demonic activity all around us. We may not be able to see the spiritual world, but we can certainly, as Christians, sense their presence. And we can see that they're having a heyday. But their heyday is coming to an end when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. We long for that day. Intellectualism, in this context, can be demonic. Paul may have been warning them against the religious astrology of the day. Warren Wiersbe said, "The fact that this teaching is not after Christ is sufficient to warn us against horoscopes, astral charts, Ouija boards, and other spiritist practices. The whole zodiac system is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God." My friend, I encourage you, flee from those things. Do not be caught up in horoscopes and things of that nature. The Bible warns us against those things. And so not only are we looking at, in the context, once again, of what Paul is teaching those in Colossae, intellectualism is deceptive. Intellectualism can be demonic. It claims antiquity. But fourthly, intellectualism is enslaving. I want to read an illustration that David Jeremiah shared in his book. He wrote, "The Tampa Bay Times ran a story about a woman named Evelyn who met a wonderful man through an online dating service. Robert Wilson was 62, fit, well off. Evelyn had moved to Florida after a long career with a technology company. The two talked on the phone and texted daily. They decided to get married in the Bahamas. What she didn't know was that Wilson was part of a team of organized criminals who were running romance scams based out of Nigeria. By the time Evelyn learned the awful truth, her bank accounts were gone. Her retirement account was drained, and she had to get a job at a local store to buy her next meal. "I lost everything," she said. "I'll be dealing with this for the rest of my life." David Jeremiah writes, "She's not alone. Floridians are losing millions of dollars every month to romance scams, with the average victim losing thousands of dollars. Advocates for the victims say a critical thing to know is that virtually everyone can be scammed. It's only a question of the right grooming and right story. It's one thing to lose your financial freedom. It's even worse to be scammed by false teachers who want to destroy your spiritual freedom and eternal hopes." And that's what false doctrine does. It robs us of the truth and places us as slaves to intellectualism. My friend, Christ has set us free. Paul's warning and admonition to the believers at Colossae was, "Christ has set you free. Do not go backwards. Don't go backwards. Don't give up the freedom that we have in Christ." I want to look in Galatians chapter number 1, verses 6 through 9. And here's what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Paul writes to those believers there, and he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Beware, 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 Christian. False doctrine is everywhere. False religions are everywhere. The only thing that we know is true is the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself. Do you have a personal relationship with Him today? Or are you just following a religion, a set of beliefs that came from man, and if you can keep those things, and then you're satisfied that it strokes your religious itch and you feel like you're right with God? My friend, that's not a relationship. That's not a relationship. You could have an organization, but that's not a relationship. My friend, the question is, do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're trusting in intellectualism, if you're trusting in human philosophy, if those are the things that you are following today, if you're following demonic activities in your life and you're trusting astrology and Ouija boards and all of those kind of things to direct your life, my friend, you have been duped. You have been lied to. You have been deceived. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone is what we need. Christ is all that we need. We can't live spiritual lives with natural insight. We can't depend upon human thinking. We can't follow evil spirits. We have to give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ to be on the right track. You see, there's a folly of abandoning Christ, and that's what Paul talks about us here about the end of verse number 8 back in Colossians chapter 2, and he says, "Beware of all of these things and not after Christ." Not after Christ. He says in verse 9, "For in him," or referring to Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you receive Christ, you have received God. When Christ was upon the earth, when folks looked at him, they saw God. One day as a believer, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. I will be looking at God. And yet those who have not received Christ as Savior, will one day bow the knee, acknowledging that Jesus is God, but at that time it will be too late. My friend, the invitation is to receive Jesus as God today. The folly of abandoning Christ is real, and it's serious business. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did by taking on the human body, taking on human flesh, yet without sin, revealing God to us, revealing himself to man, showing his love upon the cross when he died for my sins and for yours, when he satisfied his Holy Father by paying the price for our sin. That's knowing him. Do not abandon the Lord. Do not abandon the Savior, the only hope that we have. God is in Christ, and Christ is in us. That's what he's talking about here in verse 10, "And ye are complete in Christ." Christ is the head of all principality. He is the head of all authority. He is the head of all power. It's all found in Christ. Back in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible said, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." When you look at Christ, you see God. But when you accept him as your Savior and your Lord, he is in us. He is in us. I want to look lastly in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 30 and 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." We are in Christ, and he is in us. Found an interesting statement here in the Reformation Heritage KJV Study Bible. Says, "All wisdom is found in Christ." Who is our wisdom? Wisdom is scripture, is ability and skill. The wisdom that Christ is for us is explained by these words. All that we need to be right before God, he's talking about righteousness. To be holy in this life, he's talking about sanctification. And to see full salvation, that's redemption, is found in Christ Jesus. He is our hope. He is our Lord. He is our salvation. He is our Savior. My friend, the folly of abandoning Christ is real. And for those of you who have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, may I warn you of the judgment to come. For as a Christian, God has already taken that judgment on the cross. But for those who die, go off into eternity, face a judgment that they can never fully pay, that Jesus has already paid. What a shame. What a shame to abandon Christ. Oh, my friend, beware of intellectualism today. It's a robber and it's a thief. He wants to enslave us. Beware of that which is deceptive, that which claims antiquity, that which could be demonic, and that which is enslaving all of those things in a quest to abandon the truth of Christ. My friend, the Bible is the authority for faith and practice. Learn it, absorb it, memorize it, ponder it. And may it lead us closer to the Lord.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.